Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McKusick, and it's time for this week's Friday Morning GM with co-host Voss Larikos. Voss, how you doing?
Very good, Ken. Very good. Great to see the Ravens notch their fifth consecutive win on the road Monday night. It is never an easy task, and looking forward to the second divisional game of the year against the now Jameis Winston-led Browns.
Yeah, now that Tampa game, obviously, Tampa came out much the worse for wear with the loss of two wide receivers, the loss of a defensive back as well, Tyke Smith. The Ravens, unfortunately, did not exit scot-free either. Marlon Humphrey did not play the second half. Travis Jones played only two snaps in the fourth quarter. So lots of not good news. Why don't we just start with the injury report, since there's some bad news there for the Ravens on Thursday?
Sure. So released by the team officially on Thursday, Rasheen Ali did not practice Wednesday or Thursday. Jalen Armour Davis has returned to practice and logged a full practice on Thursday. He may be a vital player this week. Mm-hmm. Zay Flowers double DNP with an ankle. Malik Harrison returned to a full for the first time in several weeks. Marlon Humphrey, after the two interception game, double DNP. Travis Jones was upgraded to limited after not practicing on Wednesday. Arthur Mollett looks like he may be ready to return with a full practice on Thursday. Keaton Mitchell, double limited, as he has been activated now. TJ Tampa, another cornerback, So cluster injuries in that at the cornerback position, especially on the boundary, with a double DNP for TJ Tampa and Broderick Washington returned to full, and Nate Wiggins with a shoulder slash illness did not practice Wednesday, did practice Thursday. They're going to need him. So so that was
full,
good,
full on Thursday for Wiggins, right?
Correct.
Okay, so that he is absolutely critical. They need to get it. He's a starting corner with Stevens. Looks like Mollett will be ready to play the slot. I guess Ardarius Washington will get the back end primarily. I would guess at least in the dime how they have been doing it. Didn't have the greatest game, by the way, Ardarius this last week, but at least he was in position to intercept the football that ended up being a 28-yard pass.
Yeah, that's several times this year now. He hasn't quite shown the hands that you're hoping for.
Yeah, it's too bad because this summer it's certainly some positive things. So lots on the injury report. I guess the next step is the JAD and Keaton Mitchell returns to practice. JAD, very important depth piece this week. He might be the next man up. It looks to me with two DNPs in a row that Marlon probably is not going to play. Now, he could come back and be either limited or certainly if he's full on Friday, the concern might go away and maybe extra precautionary the short week. Usually the advancement you want to see, if you're going to have a DNP, you better have it on Wednesday with a limited, no worse on Thursday and a full on Friday. Yes. But this didn't occur. So that's a concern. And then I think they may also, I hope they're not going to take the Browns lightly in this game, but I think they may want to try and give Marlon a week of rest here.
I agree with that sentiment for sure. Marlon, as we saw, what was that, 2 years ago when he came back a little bit early and then had to miss time again, knee injury. He's had several lower leg injuries now. Cornerback's not a position you want to try to play through a knee injury for sure. The other big one is Flowers. I mean, you got your wide receiver one and your cornerback one both banged up, and potentially your defensive lineman number one as well with Jones. So they would have to make room for Armour Davis because he's currently on IR. So probably the natural place would be Ali, I would imagine, since Collier was activated.
I'm sorry, Ali would naturally be inactive?
Would be put on IR.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last thing you said.
Would be placed on injured reserve.
Oh, placed on IR. That's possible.
Yeah. Right. So they've now used up three of the eight returns.
Okay. Boy, that's they're as injuries go during a football season, not that many of them will get you back at 4 weeks and before the end of the season. It's kind of like a short landing strip. So they probably have more than what they need still to get through the rest of the season, but they did run out last year with some kind of creative IRing and also some creative attempts at return late in the season where it was just prophylactic in nature for players that they then, I think Malik Ham, basically they tried to return, but they didn't they didn't have it.
Bowser as well.
He's not the one. The situation is a little different in both cases. But Malik Ham, he would have been activated, is my understanding, if they had had the need. But they didn't have the need at outside linebacker, so they then reverted Ham to IR for the full season and after his window had closed. But they were making full use of every one of their eight DTRs last year.
Yep. I remember we were keeping track at the beginning of the year, and we thought there was no way they were going to make it to all eight, and they did.
The most exciting return to practice this week is Keaton Mitchell, of course, limited. Harbaugh's already effectively alluded to the fact that they're not bringing him back this week, which none of us, I think, should really expect. I mean, he's out there with a brace on his knee, and I think he probably is going to take the full window to return. If that were to occur, he could return for the Pittsburgh game, which would be a really nice time to have him back.
Yes, certainly would. That looks like the toughest defense on the slate. And it's nice that they don't play them till later, considering, it gives more time to recover.
Yeah, they'll still have seven games left in the season. We're going to try we did a little bit of this with Frazier Tafar yesterday on the offense show, but would you over under his carries for the year right now? Where would you put it at?
65.
Okay, that's really high because that means he'll have to have about 9 and change per game. I put it more like 25, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's 7 games. So, you know, he could get some of the postseason. He might get up. Boy, it'd be really nice if he did get up to 65. But if you think about Henry's workload, Henry could really use a workload reduction. But right. The truth of the matter is it's not going to be a huge workload reduction. And, you know, this is an unfortunate thing. As much as you'd like to reduce the wear on Henry, there's a whole nother unfortunate contingent of people, and I hope it does not include Henry himself, who would be saying, my only way to get 2,000 yards is to increase my carry significantly.
That's nonsense. That's yes. Nonsense. I have no no appetite for personal, you know, stat chasing. Even in the game where he was seemingly chasing 200 yards in one game, you know, it's got to be team-centric, not personal.
Right. And that, you know, there were probably 2 or 3 carries added in that game just to try and get him to 200 that would have been ideally avoided. But you know, they're going to have to add 50 carries or something to get him to 2,000 yards because realistically, you can't do that at 17 carries a game, which would be, let's try 19 carries a game because that's what he's been so far. So if he were to continue that, he'd have 323 for the season. And if I divide that or take 2,000 over that, I get about 6.2 yards per carry. He won't keep that up, even though he's at 6.5 currently. So it's going to be it'll be a very difficult road for him to get to 2,000. His workload would have to increase significantly. I don't see it happening.
I could see it happening potentially if the schedule softens and your more favorable game scripts where you're just, you know, sticking to the run and salting the game away in the fourth quarter. That would maybe be one possibility.
It's, you know, that's from the Ravens' perspective that they would like to do it. But what we've seen the last 2 weeks, I don't see any way it's happening because the Commanders, okay, this is a really big deal. Commanders completely committed to the line of scrimmage. And even they played 4.66 defensive backs per play. Tampa Bay on Monday night, 4.15 defensive backs per play. Now think about what that means. That means you're in the base defense almost every single snap. Yeah. And you're just saying, we dare you to throw the ball. We don't care what you do. And, you know, there's so many situations where you get into third and longer, second and longer. There's certainly plenty of those in the game for the Ravens with all those freaking penalties they had. Where they had opportunities to put more defensive backs on the field, they just really didn't do it. They were keyed in on stopping the run.
I almost feel like that benefits Henry because, you know, if he can get past the first level, because he may be the best second level running back in history, potentially. But anyway, that's just an aside that I was thinking of earlier this week.
Yeah. The Ravens do have that kind of offense that punctures the point of it at the point of attack well with Ricard. So I can see the logic in that. And you think back to that 2008 win where they had the 2 long runs against the Cowboys, both of them were those sorts of things where they got into level 2 and then had their way with the Cowboys defense that was all up at the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Let's talk about Keaton real quickly. How do you see him used other than a Henry, maybe some more pony backfield when they come back? When he comes back?
Sure, I can see some pony. And I probably should have rethought because, as I said, 65, I think that may be including dump-offs and just screens and just overall touches. I would like to see him reduce, Zay Flowers' role, as you call it, the gadget portion of the offense. And I think he's a capable, perfect player to do that. I thought that maybe Deontay Harty would be that player coming into the season, didn't materialize. But, I think you just want to get the ball in his hands in space, whether that's any way you can, and just let him use that acceleration and that shiftiness to his advantage as he did so well during his rookie campaign.
Yeah, I absolutely. Completely agree with all that. And I think the opportunity to free Flowers is great. And that doesn't mean you can't run 2 plays a game that are gadget plays to Flowers, but you don't have to keep Flowers committed to that part of the game plan. And you can do that. Now, you're probably giving away something whenever you put Mitchell on the field, but maybe you can use that to set something else up. So you have some fun with it.
Yeah.
Move on to transactions.
Certainly. Certainly. So I guess I'll tee it off here with Chris Collier, the running back who had been promoted 3 times from the practice squad, received a promotion full-time promotion to the 53 ahead of the Bucs game. You know, it's just they're kind of cycling through running backs at this point. I guess they hoped Ali was going to be able to provide that third running back placeholder until Mitchell was ready, but Ali is injured. So, yeah, it's just sort of a warm body situation, I believe. Wouldn't mind another guy that's maybe a little bit more of a finisher in the Derrick Henry mold. That's probably the way to best reduce his carries, an Owen Wright type. But
okay,
we'll see.
Yeah, I'm not sure Owen Wright has been signed by anybody yet. I'm not sure if he's also recovered from his injury, but it has been a number of weeks. That would be interesting. But there are certainly plenty of running backs out there who fit that generalized mold. Collier is a bridge player entirely. He's not he's not a guy with a long term future with the Ravens, although he might go back to the practice squad and be a guy they keep around for a special teams elevation or to replace a running back later in the year.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Christian Welch signed to the practice squad, elevated for that Bucs game. I don't know. I think that might have been slightly after our show, like it might have happened on Sunday or something for the Monday game.
Yes. But I think we predicted it though.
Okay. All right. But anyway, he played not elevated to the 53. That was their only PS elevation. And now, you know, I've been a kind of a doom and gloomer. I know people have been saying this, but the Ravens again did not activate a fourth IDL. So they played with only four, and this was the game that it really got them. They had 77 snaps against them. They played with four. Travis Jones got hurt, only played two snaps in the fourth quarter. They had zero pressures from any IDL in the fourth quarter other than on the two-point try, which those pressures don't really count, but he got Pierce got the sack. Very, very important play, but Pierce got that sack. The other big thing, the last two drives, I mean, there was some of it was in terms of scheme and just rushing four and doing it, but the Ravens only got, the Ravens allowed 9 of 13 plays for ample time and space. Hmm. So it's you're also not getting even in the face of Mayfield to try and make some of these passes hard. And then you're also playing super soft on the back end and letting him just have these pitch and catch throws. It's kind of frustrating, obviously, for that to happen.
No question. You know, and Travis Jones and Matabike have taken on a very large snap share for the first portion of the season, up 70, 80%. Some games are close to 80. Pierce hasn't taken as many snaps. There's probably some load management there that's probably beneficial. But, yeah, you need bodies on the defensive line to rotate one of the positions that benefits the most from rotation on the entire squad. Just back to Welch, I think that's the ideal – special teams only linebacker should be a guy on the practice squad that's promoted, not on the 53. At least you can't have two of them. I think Chris Board had a couple snaps on defense this week, but having two of them and two safeties, it's just a little bit too much for my liking. But I think as a practice squad elevation, Welch fits the bill perfectly.
Did Board really have two snaps? Chris Board had a snap on defense. Okay, I got to check my sheet and make sure I recorded that. I might have missed it, or it might have occurred on a penalty or something, but that's thank you. Arthur Mollett activated from IR, I believe, yesterday. So he used his full 21-day window. He's practicing full at this point. I would assume the Ravens are going to actually play him in the slot now because they've gotten so thin at corner all of a sudden. Humphrey isn't a guy they can move in there. Washington is a guy they need more on the back end to replace Eddie Jackson, who's not playing particularly well. Mm-hmm. It's just they have fewer options at slot right now than we would have expected given how this roster is constructed.
Agreed. Mollett, you know, I know many are optimistic that he's going to help shore up some of the issues in the Bermuda Triangle between Roquan and the safeties. I'm not so confident in that. I think he's going to be more – he's very disruptive near the line of scrimmage, but mm-hmm. he's not – his skill set is not
coverage.
A strength or just carrying the seam, you know, into that area. We saw it in the AFC Championship game, as we recall. So something needs to be done there, and I'm glad Mollett's back, and I hope, you know, tremendous blitzer out of the slot, and, you know, but we'll see.
What he does do is still free up Hamilton to take Simpson's spot in dime. I think that's mm-hmm. been very beneficial to the team. So, you know, it's been a big part of this winning streak here is having that dime defense, which they went to in week 3, not coincidentally. that Josh Ross was cut to make room for Mallett, I believe. And a lot of these transactions are now melding together over the last few days, but claimed by Seattle. So he reunites with McDonald out there. Obviously, he must have liked it in the last 2 years and thought, hey, here's a player.
Yeah, I think that's the Michigan D. They played together. He played under Michigan.
For 3 years, yeah.
Helping him, bring the system to that Seattle defense. The Seattle defense has fallen off a little bit the last few weeks, so they probably need some leadership there.
All right. We'll talk trade needs really quick. We do have a mailbag I want to get to because it's got some good questions in it. Mm-hmm. The one thing I see, I stand firm that I think a safety is the position that they really need right now. I think that's if they could find a free safety who can step in immediately for Jackson and step in for Williams if he gets hurt, I think it's still the biggest need. You're in the same place, by the way, or you?
I would say probably yet. Really, the Ravens need Marcus Williams to play better. That's really the key. And Roquan to get a little bit deeper drops and reclaim some of that. Jonas put out a good article today, this afternoon. And he is identifying edge rusher as the primary need. And he had a stat that said that the 23 Ravens pressure rate with four or fewer was seventh best in the NFL. 36.4%. The 24 pressure rate with four is 27.7, which is 26th in the NFL. And I know Jadeveon Clowney has not done very much in Carolina. He's been hurt most of the year. But I do think that the impact that he made last year was sort of being felt as we get to the middle of the season.
I don't have a problem, by the way, bringing back Clowney and trying to improve the pass rush that way. But I honestly would respectfully disagree with Jonas on this one in terms of where the real problem is. And I had a lot of analysis about this in my defensive article this week. So basically, I do things with opportunity set in terms of what they're granting the quarterback. And yes, the opportunity set has been better for quarterbacks this year, but I can only account for about 75 yards or thereabouts of difference from that, when there's a difference of about 600 yards in total, 500 and change. Most of it is that they're a yard and a half worse, regardless of the opportunity set condition. So if it's ample time and space, they're more than a yard and a half worse. They're actually like two and change worse. If it's a ball out quick, they're, I think, 1.6 worse. If it's a pressure, they're something like two worse than they were. It might even be more than that than they were last year. But it's all in the defensive article. I encourage people to take a look at it. The problem is scheme and the defensive players more than it is the pass rush itself. And look at even this last game. They had obviously shortage of defensive linemen at points in the game, or for the whole game, because they had four and then they only had three after Jones's injury. But when they played the dime, about half of the time they used a rush dime where they said, okay, we're shorthanded. We're going to use three outside linebackers on the field. And they got all three of their sacks under with that rush dime on the field. So not the pure sack on the extra point. I'm not counting that, but the three sacks that occurred that were all drive enders, or at least two of them were. The first two ended like consecutive drives. I'm trying to think about where the third one was. But in any case, the point is that they're getting really good mileage out of the.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. it can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tap. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Guys, they have right now at outside linebacker. The other thing is you have to get rid of one. If you pick up Clowney, you got to get rid of somebody. I don't mind trading a Ajabo, by the way, as part of the a pickup.
Yes. Yeah, we discussed that last week, and we're both in agreement there. Ajabo for Clowney. I think I would recommend a two-pronged solution, and that would be pass rush, an edge rusher, and a safety. And not expensive, you know. Some people are talking about trading for Myles Garrett or something like that. Not that, but if you can find, you know, Za'Darius Smith potentially, and get the team that's trading him to eat some of the cap hit, as the Chiefs just did in their wide receiver acquisition. I think I'm concerned about the depth at outside backer. I think Van Noy and Owe are good enough, but I don't want them to get worn down. And if one of those two are hurt, you're just not getting enough impact from Ojabo, Tavius, and Adisa Isaac, and Ngakwe. So I've been on the coverage side of the what's more important, coverage or pass rush debate for years, and I know the analytical community has sort of shifted towards pass rush. I still feel that way, but I think – in the worst case scenario, one of the top guys gets hurt, I would be more concerned about edge rusher.
Right. The debate will go on forever. It's kind of like separating pitching and defense in baseball. Mm-hmm. They are so interconnected in terms of how they work with each other. Even though baseball's, you know, gone towards the three true outcomes that don't involve the defense, home run, walk, and strikeout, you still have every batted ball that's in play has all of these different connections with, you know, how the fielders are set, how the hitter is, and what you're allowed to do in terms of shifting. What are the pitcher's characteristics in terms of what types of pitches he throws? It's almost impossible to separate those things. I do agree. It's very difficult for football and probably might be even more difficult. I'm going to try and make the best inroads into that that I can. I think looking at the type of the quality of opportunity for the quarterback is at least a starting point. So hopefully that bear some fruit with somebody else's further analysis of this.
Well, and the other point to make is they played some of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah,
in the first seven games, probably five of the top six, not including Lamar. So that should also positively impact the pass defense over the next stretch.
And first of all, I agree with that. And second of all, it might be a reason why the opportunity set is more related maybe to the quarterbacks in general, but the pressure rate is more on the defense to generate that. Yep. So there would be a legitimate counterpoint to some of the things I've got in the article.
Great article, by the way. I really enjoyed the numbers where you were saying how much better they improved as a run defense versus how much they regressed as a pass defense. I enjoy that visual representation every week.
Have the Ravens gone too far in trying to be a good run defense that they've basically given back some of the gains in pass defense that McDonald had last year?
I think to some extent. Zach Gore coming in from a linebacker, born and bred with the Ravens, it stopped the run first, and I'd rather stop the pass first, but we'll see how it goes the rest of the year. I think Zach Gore and Dean Pease are eventually going to come around to that conclusion, hopefully.
Yeah, Zach Gore was at the podium today. He talked about a few things, but one of them was Dean Pease, and the big piece of information he got was that Dean Pease is in the booth while he's on the field. So that's good to have an extra set of eyes up there. And apparently, he said all kinds of things, and he's made observations, I should say, and that he'd acted as a good sounding board for Orr was the other thing that came up. So, all the correct things are being said in terms of what that relationship is and how it should look. The issue is, and it kind of always may be, was he forced into this decision or was he just happy doing it? And if he's forced into the decision, he's probably never going to be really happy with it.
Well, again, you got to do what's best for the team. Team first, yeah. Team centric. If Zach doesn't like it, he got promoted up the chain very quickly. So comes to the territory.
All right, let's go to the mailbag. A few questions here this week. Some good ones here.
Did you want to touch on the other trade, Ken? I'm sorry.
Let's do that.
Yeah, so Chiefs continue the wide receiver carousel and trade for DeAndre Hopkins. Gave up a fifth. It could become a fourth. And Tennessee picked up $2.5 million of his contract to facilitate the deal. I think it's a pretty good move for the Chiefs. I don't think it's a conference-tilting move, but one of the better drop rates over his career. I saw a statistic earlier this week that he's in top three in least drops, and they needed it because their wide receiver position has just been decimated between Hollywood Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster hurt, and Rashee Rice. So, yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins actually having a pretty good year with Tennessee. So the fact that even on 21 targets, which is not much, obviously in six games, 3.5 targets per game is not much. He's got 8.2 yards per target. First of all, it's better than he's been in several years. In fact, when was this last year that was as good? Just to put this in pace. Yeah, it hasn't been as good since 2021. There's that. Okay. And he's doing it with a bad quarterback. I think he'll be better with Mahomes stands a chance to be better, certainly with Mahomes. I don't think it's a bad pickup for them. I don't think it's something the Ravens should have considered. Now, part of the thing is the Ravens have two better receivers than Hopkins. And I feel confident saying that now in both Bateman and Flowers. Flowers being DNP this last 2 days doesn't really help that. But I prefer to have those two guys on the field. And then if you're talking about him replacing Aguilar snaps, well, sure. But the marginal benefit there is significantly less than him being Kansas City's number one or number two receiver.
Yeah, I think the Ravens had the possession receiver niche filled with the tight ends. So I wouldn't have as I said previously, I think if they do add an outside receiver, it should be a vertical threat. A 2-2 Atwell potentially from the Rams. The other guy I like, Shaheed, is hurt now and into reserve. But it could be Tez Walker. He finally got a jersey last week. Could be Tez Walker,
I was just going to say. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he did not get an offensive snap this last week, which is a shame. But yeah.
This week he may be in line considering the injury report.
Yeah. Yeah, I would not disagree at all. The Rams are kind of at the eye of the storm in terms of a lot of trade talks right now. Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford reportedly both up for grabs. There's some report that the Rams and Vikings have been talking about Matthew Stafford.
And they're playing each other tonight, so that'll be kind of fun. Maybe Stafford's just going to stay in Minnesota. Or no, I'm sorry, it's at the Rams, but yeah, I guess that would be interesting. Stafford becomes sort of the mercenary, the expensive Flacco mercenary who just goes from team to team. Kupp, I'm kind of surprised. I guess Nacua, they think they have something there. They just need to reset. At least the Rams know when to reset, as aggressive as they are, and the Saints just do not at all.
Right. They can't. I don't think they can figure out how to get out of their own Chinese finger trap on that. I mean, it's just there's so much money that they have to move around, and it becomes a very complex puzzle. And then they sign Alvin Kamara. What a ridiculous signing for a team like that.
Yeah. Some of the things they've needed a reset for about 8 years, and they just refused to do it.
Cooper Kupp has a lot of. He's very expensive for the next 2 years. Doesn't really fit the Ravens. Needs from that perspective. Now he could be, you could tear up the contract, of course, after the Rams accelerate all the money that's in it right now, but it does have some guaranteed money for next year. It's like $5 million. So it would make it difficult for the Rams to get value. For the Ravens to get value if they throw that away. So I don't see, even though they could really use another receiver, and you say we got the possession receiver filled, it's still pretty nice to have Cooper Kupp, even if he's on the outside or somewhere else running routes for you. I still think no way in hell can they make that work.
Yeah, I think he would have been a pretty good fit. One of the best blockers as a slot receiver in the league and, a crafty guy. But I think the Ravens have the offense figured out. I think they've congealed to where they need to be. And what the beauty of it is the ability to spread it around. Just don't want to lose that field stretcher. If one of the top guys misses time, that could give the defense a little bit of an advantage that could kind of gum up the works of the machine that Todd Monken has rolling right now.
Yeah, that was very exciting. Very exciting. Okay, let's go to the mailbag here. Randy S. has the first question. Is it fair to compare Zach Orr to last year's McDonald defense when McDonald wasn't the only coaching team member to leave? It's a very good point. Ravens lost a lot of coaches, and I don't recall exactly how many people had left when in the year McDonald took over, but I don't think it was nearly as bad. So I know Martindale left, and it was kind of they said it was a mutual decision. I think Martindale didn't really want to coach on a 1-year deal.
Right.
And the Ravens didn't want to extend him. So it kind of made sense. And anyway, when he I don't think McDonald was playing as shorthanded in his first year and still had some problems. So it's probably a fair point, Randy.
I think it's a very fair point. And the one coach that his loss has been felt the most, I think, is Denard Wilson, who has Tennessee defense playing above their talent level. And he was a defensive backs coach, and we've seen significant regression from some of the defensive backs this year.
Oh, he's a head coach to be, certainly. Next question is from Kid Rock 20. Appreciate your regular questions, Kid Rock 20. Hey guys, getting pretty concerned about the defense. I get there was a fumble / onside kick, but I feel like they turn into Swiss cheese at times. Is it better than it seems? It's probably not quite as bad as it seems. The situation with the defensive line, with the tiring of the pass rushers, they only had three offensive snaps and a stretch of four drives, which were three long drives by the Bucks. It's probably better than that. They did have a bunch of consecutive stops, but five or six in a row, if you include that kneel down, to get the six straight scores, that led to 34 unanswered points. pluses and minuses. I thought, you know, the big thing that came out of that game was Marlon Humphrey getting two picks and finally turning that around. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah. Ask me this question next week, because the defense should have a good performance against the Cleveland Browns team that has been one of the very, very worst, you know, third worst, the bottom three offenses this year. And now they're turning it over to Jameis. And Chubb did return, so maybe that gives him a little bit of something. But and they traded away the wide receiver one. So if the defense is getting gashed again this week, it may be as bad as it seems. So I hope it's not.
Yeah, the Ravens will be without Marlon Humphrey, it looks like. So they're going to be going pretty far down the depth chart in this game at cornerback. So I'm concerned about that.
So if you have Wiggins and Stevens and Mollett, yeah, I think that's three capable guys as far as your top three, knock on wood. But they should be able to handle the Browns receivers without Cooper, I would hope.
Yeah, I would hope. It's not a great room, but what's even better is how bad their offensive line is right now.
Yeah,
they really got to take advantage of that. Even like Joel Bitonio had friend on for Know Your Foe, and he said, you know, Joel Bitonio is just looking really old right now, and he's no longer their best lineman, even though they don't have a lot to go with. So both tackle spots are in real trouble, and this could be a get well game for the defense. They haven't really had a break. Yeah. All right. A good one from Isaiah, who says, curious on your thoughts on having Marcus Peters back, but at safety instead, or if he would even be up for that.
It's an intriguing idea. I think he has the certainly the ball skills for it and probably the instincts for it, probably not the tackling ability for it. Mm-hmm. And he's been out of the league for a little while, and who knows what he's been up to. I'm not quite sure what kind of a game shape he would be in at this point.
I'm in the same spot with you. If you're going to try something like that and really do it on short notice, Marcus Peters, they traded for when he was more burnt than fried chicken or whatever, more burnt than a, you know, I can't come up with a good analogy, so we're just going to leave it at that. Very burnt with the Rams. He was going over 9 yards per target, and the Ravens acquired him. And that season, he turns it around and is all pro. And is basically his first play he makes as a Raven is a pick six against Russell Wilson, who hadn't thrown an interception all year. So if there's anybody who could surprise you with something like that, it's probably him. Jameis Winston is extremely interception prone, and he'll try all sorts of things. Having Marcus Peters on the back end of cover three at corner is something I would really love to see this game.
Sure. So,
yeah, if they had if Marcus all of a sudden can show up tomorrow and I don't think you need to teach Marcus Peters anything about playing cover three, then I'd love for him to step in and play a significant number of snaps in this game probably.
Yeah, as an idea, certainly. One of my favorite players that they acquired, not a home, I always favor the homegrown guys, but one of my favorite personalities. I really, that memory of him after the interception, getting revenge on Tennessee in the playoffs is one of the best memories I've had over the Lamar era, I'd say. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So he had good ones. Even the one that was a little bit of a comportment issue was the one he had against the Rams when he was making fun of Jalen Ramsey because effectively the Rams had made room for him. And
I thought you were going to say when he went into the stands in Buffalo and drank one of the fans' beer.
Oh, I don't remember that. Okay. I have to take a look at that again.
He was a character.
We got one more here. This one is from Will. And he says, is Fa'alele a possible early extension? Did we talk about this one last week, by the way?
No.
Okay, because I think it just missed the time of our show, like the cutoff for our show. So if you can, please get your questions in by about 5 p.m. And then we'll have a chance to get to them but 5 p.m. on Thursday for Friday morning GM. It's hard to remember. So Will said, is Fa'alele a possible early extension candidate if he continues to play at an average to slightly above average level the remainder of the season? So this was coming off a basically perfect pass blocking game that he had a week ago. Still had some problems as run blocker, as a puller, but generally very good game. A overall, no doubt about it. And then he came into this game and he laid an egg again. So he had an F. Mm-hmm. That does include a BS holding call, which would have made it a D otherwise.
Yeah, but that was a tough call. That was a really tough call.
Really bad call. But in any case, he would need to maintain a level of performance that would be like at a C plus level to my way of thinking for them to really want to extend him early. It's a good idea if they can do it. I mean, they could get real value for a player like right. that, but yeah,
it's got to be cheap. It's got to be really, really cheap with minimal guarantees and just, you know, you give the guy a bonus and that's the carrot for him. Basically I would be willing to do it if he's willing to accept seventh offensive lineman type of money, because that's probably the level he's played at, in my view.
Okay, so yes, I think that's about the number, because I've got a number in mind for you. So he plays out the current contract that he signed to for 4 years as a fourth round draft pick, and you extend him for 3 years and $10 million total.
Yeah,
period.
That might be a little high even still for me. Maybe three over or eight over three.
You know, sure. I mean, if they could have him for that, great. I think I'd go to 10. I think I'd go as high as 10. But sure, so let's start the bidding at 8. And see if he fights on that. All right. Last question. And this one, I don't know if we took last week or the question about
Marcus Williams.
We did. Okay, so we covered that.
Do this one last week. Yep.
All right. Voss, always a pleasure to do this show with you. It's been a great win streak here. This, you know, obviously a little bit of cloud over things with what's going on. You go to this Browns game as a fan. Do you have a level of fear about this? I mean, I hear your words are that they should be able to handle. I'm a natural worrywart, so I'm always concerned about certain mismatches within the game.
Yeah. It's a trap. It's a classic trap game from a gambling perspective. It's a classic trap game. I'm not overly concerned that the Ravens are going to win, but I'm not going to bet the mortgage that they're going to cover the spread. I'll say that.
All right. Very good. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
Certainly. I am on Twitter X at Vasilis Fiamata, VASILIS FIAMATA. Fiamata is the name of the restaurant that we're working diligently to open up. We're spackling and installing tile this week, getting closer and closer, and a very exciting venture. So I'll keep everyone abreast of the opening date when we select one.
Good possibility for November still?
Yes, certainly November.
Okay. All right. Very good to hear. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, hit us up. DMs are always open on Twitter. I'd love to hear from you. Drop your questions in hashtag film study mailbag. And I'll just plug one other show here. If you listen to the matchup show with Frazier Tafara, that's been very interesting, very fun to do. Usually it'll be episodes coming out on Saturday. So it's not a usual time to look for on podcasts, but they're generally shorter in nature for people who like that. And that's a lot of the Friday morning GM crew I know as well. For Voss Larikos, this is Ken McCusick saying good night. We'll talk to you later on Friday morning GM.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.